Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 7, there is a very puzzling verse in verse 21. It's not really puzzling, but it could be if you do not understand what it is saying. The Word of God says, "Not every man, not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, this is problematic. And then it says, "But he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven, not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, there are certain things in the Bible that are very sobering, and this is one of them. I can say, "Lord, Lord," but not necessarily enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is frightening. And then in verse 22 it says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?'" And this is problematic. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Word of God says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit." So how is it that there will be those who call Jesus Lord, but they do not see the kingdom of heaven? And the reason is actually very simple. See, to those people, God will say, "I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, we think to ourselves that this means they are going to go to hell. But nowhere in this passage does it actually say that they're going to go to hell. It says that they will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, I have always thought in myself that that's what it meant, that they will go to hell. But it's not what it means. The reason for that is because no man can call God Lord except by the Spirit. And no, they did not lose their salvation. So what does it mean? It means the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean New Jerusalem. There is a difference between heaven and kingdom of heaven. For example, when the man who stored his grain in the barn said to his soul, "Soul, now you can rest," God said to him, "You fool, today your soul will be required of you." As a man, it is my soul combined with my spirit that go to heaven. But it is saying no man can see the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand the difference? In other words, he's not saying that person's going to go into hell. He's talking about their experience here on earth. There is a way to see the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Didn't Jesus say, when people pass by, tell them the kingdom of God is near to them? How is the kingdom of God near to them? They're here on earth. Because the kingdom of heaven and heaven itself are two different things. The kingdom is the reign of heaven, the rule of heaven, the authority of heaven. It is not heaven. For example, the British kingdom is not a piece of land. The British kingdom is a system of government. Not everybody that calls God Lord is under God's system of government. That's what it is saying. Because the person who calls Him Lord can only do so because of the Holy Spirit. So if in my heart I can say Christ is Lord, then it is only because the Holy Spirit is present in my heart. But that alone does not necessarily mean that I will ever see the government of heaven in my heart. Oh, I may be born again, go to heaven when I die, but then I will be a soul, not a man. But as a man, I may or may not see the kingdom of heaven. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 20, see, one of the things we need to understand is what is the kingdom of heaven? Not for our salvation, but for our lives. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, in 17:20 of Luke, the Word of God says, "The kingdom of God is not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So that means that if I am one who lives in the kingdom of God, then I am one who has his heart and his mind regulated by that kingdom. In other words, there is a throne of grace that I have come to. And that throne is a government, and grace is the manifestation and mode of operation of that government. If the throne of grace is operating in the believer, it is not operating in the externals. It is operating within that believer. I can be a believer who, for example, soul wins. Now, soul winning is extraordinarily important. Soul winning indicates that a person has some wisdom from God in Proverbs 11:30. But it does not necessarily indicate that there is a government of grace from heaven operating in my heart. It is very possible for the believer to go through the actions because he has been trained in what to do. That's not a throne of grace. It's not about going through the actions. It's about grace governing the heart. And so when grace governs my heart, I'll win souls. But not because I ought, but because I love souls. When grace governs my heart, I do the things that I do not because they are told to me as a law, but because I love the ways of God. And it is no different in appearance from those who may perhaps do it out of the law. But God knows the difference, and the difference will show up in my fruit. You see, the tree is what it is. And if the tree is good, then the fruit is good. And a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit in Luke chapter 6. I can pretend, but I can't bear fruit. if a throne of grace is operating in my heart, then I will bear the fruit of the kingdom of God. If it is simply a structure of rules or behaviors or laws, then the fruit that I bear will be one that doesn't impart life. The fruit that I bear will be one that imparts death. Why? Because the strength of sin is in the law. And the sin is all about death. So I have to be very cautious as a believer that I keep myself rightly related to the throne of grace. Throne of grace says to me, in convictions from the Spirit, don't sin. But likewise, the throne of grace says to me, when I do sin, you are forgiven and it is forgotten. The throne of grace may say to me, go there. But the throne of grace will also give me all the provisions that I need in my heart and in the practical necessities of life to sustain me and to motivate me to go there. You see, it is the kingdom of heaven that we live in. Not when we die, but now. When we die, yes, we will be in heaven if we are born again. Yes, we will be in the New Jerusalem. But the kingdom of heaven is an authority in my heart. You know, Britain wasn't always Britain. It only became Britain when a system of government was established by the population that inhabited that land. The kingdom of heaven is established when the population of Christians that inhabit this land have a governing principle in their heart. And that governing principle is grace. Apart from grace, I can never see the kingdom of heaven. That's why we come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? The throne of grace, when I come to it, it gives me something. It has a means of operation, and that operation will be expressed as I come to that throne of grace. And what will the throne of grace give me? It'll give me mercy in time of need. It doesn't give me necessarily even direction all the time. But whenever I come to the throne of grace, it gives me mercy. And when I receive mercy, then I get the capacity built in my heart for whatever direction God would have to send me in. My capacity is built by mercy. My capacity is built by the goodness of God. My capacity is built by the gentleness of God. If that capacity is built, then the Holy Spirit who already resides in me, He will guide me in all truth. So what I need to worry about as a believer is not so much am I being led at this moment or am I not being led, but developing my capacity. The throne of grace develops my capacity so that the Holy Spirit can do His ministry, His work in my heart. The throne of grace is all about capacity. Just like a government's role is to establish things within that area so that certain things can operate, so that certain events or functions can take place, or so that others do not take place. Likewise, when there is a throne of grace, it builds capacity, and once that capacity is built, the capacity, in one sense, is almost like establishing the foundation that brings in the authority and that authority's ability to implement its precepts. When the throne of grace builds my capacity, then the Holy Spirit can rule the heart. If the Holy Spirit is ruling the heart, then the kingdom of heaven is within you. Without that capacity, though the Holy Spirit may be there, the spiritual infrastructure will not exist within the believer for the Holy Spirit's authority to be implemented. And though that believer may love God, though that believer may be sincere, though that believer may love His Word, that believer will not have the spiritual structures inside of their soul to be able to respond properly to the initiations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the infrastructure, the spiritual infrastructure, is missing. Just like in a government, if the infrastructure is missing, then the mayor may declare something for the city, but it's meaningless. If the president says something and the infrastructure to carry it out, for the communication to be given, and for the response to that communication to take place, if that is missing, then whatever decree the president may give is meaningless. However, when the infrastructure is in place, then the president says something, or king, or mayor, or governor, or whoever, and whatever decree they give, there is a mechanism by which that decree comes to pass. In the believer, grace builds the infrastructure. That's why it's a throne of grace. There is no such thing as the Holy Spirit governing the heart of the believer, the life of the believer, if grace has not saturated that believer. If that believer is not oriented to grace, that believer will have no capacity, no ability to be oriented to the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is not possible to have a functioning, living relationship with God apart from grace being on the throne of the heart. Why? The machinery is missing. I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine who's a mechanic fix my car. This was about 15 years ago. And he had taken the engine out and he left the car in his backyard. He lived actually in a small apartment building and he could do that there. He left the car in his backyard. And somebody tried to steal the car. They were unable to do anything at all with that car. They broke the locks, but they went absolutely nowhere. Why? The machinery was missing. If I do not have the throne of grace residing in my heart, then the machinery for God running my life is missing. The kingdom of God is within you. But not everyone that calls Him Lord will see the kingdom of God. Not everyone who is saved is oriented to grace. Not everyone who is saved knows how to hear from the Spirit or to be led by Him. If I am a person who does not know that, I need to be saturated in grace. I need to receive His Word and let grace take over. You see, as I receive the full counsel of the Word of God through anointed preaching, and it has to be anointed preaching along with my reading of the Scriptures and private meditation and prayer, because faith comes by hearing, and I enter into that government by faith. So if I am someone who does not know how to have God govern his heart, I don't get condemned. All it means is that the machinery is not there. It's like the crook, the thief, being condemned that the engine was not in the car. Well, I don't get condemned if the machinery is missing. I get the machinery. I don't get condemned. I go to a throne of grace and I obtain mercy. And by mercy is the house built. By mercy the machinery is devised and constructed so that God's authority can have a spiritual infrastructure whereby His decree has a means by which I can respond to it. And within me there is a throne and a government, and heaven is manifesting and governing and regulating my thoughts and my heart and my soul. Amen.